Welcome to the 29th edition of the Wolf Whistle Podcast, the podcast which interviews and celebrates the former players of our great club. Today we're very lucky to be joined by a forward from the late 80s, early 90s, Paul McLaughlin, 29 appearances for the Wolves, 4 goals, 12 starts, 17 a sub, a signing for £45,000 in July 1989. Paul, how are you?
Really well, thank you, Jason. Thanks very much for thinking of me, and it's great to be on the podcast.
Brilliant. I mean, Paul, what it was, obviously, the late 80s was my era growing up and supporting the Wolves, and I'm doing a bit of stalking on Twitter, and I was surprised how quickly I found you, to be honest, Paul. And then I sent you a message, and you was very receptive to it, and once again, we was, you know, we're lucky to have you on the podcast, so... From your point of view, Paul, let's rewind the clock and start, you know, how you started out in football and how you got your break in the professional game.
Certainly, yeah. It was quite interesting, actually, Jason, because I was at a Catholic school and football wasn't really a big thing at the time. Yeah. So I didn't actually start at a good level until I was about 14. I just, luckily my PE teacher sent me for some Bristol Boys trials. I got into the Bristol Boys team, which was great. A scout was watching from Bristol City, and I got asked to come along to the schoolboy training, and it sort of took off from there, really. I mean, I was very, very lucky. In that first year I played for the Bristol Boys, I think it was at the under-15s level, we won the English Schools Trophy. We had Mike Hooper, who went on to play for Newcastle and Liverpool, in the side. So it was a fantastic time, and just got me into football straight away. I just fell in love with it. I was soccer mad as a little kid, but I didn't really get into it until, like I said, I was about 14 years of age. I was an associate schoolboy for Bristol City for 2 seasons. Then I was devastated. At 16, they told me I was too small. I'd never be a pro. I'd never make it. They let me go. And it was a good thing in a way. And lucky enough, it still helps me now. I stayed on, did A-levels. Got a good achievement, and I went into the English schoolboys trials, played county football, and just gave me the time that I needed to. I was very small. I think I grew about a foot in those 2 years. Just then, and by 18, I was playing for conference football for Yeovil, so it was fantastic for me, really.
Got you. I mean, what's quite unusual there is, Paul, that you obviously didn't start playing organised football of a good level, really, till you was 14. Most players now...
No, I didn't. It was incredible. I just played at school, but don't get me wrong, I was playing all the time, just over the road, in the park, work on my skills. My brother, I had an older brother who looked after me and played loads of football with me all the time, really worked on the things I was doing, and I just spent lots and lots of time working on my own skills. And then once I started to get into the football, I realised how... just, you know, absolutely wearing it was. There were people, some of my mates were playing Saturday twice on a Sunday midweek at schools. So it was, I was glad in a way, because I never ever lost the love of the game. Whereas I think a few of the youngsters these days, with how academy driven it is, 4 or 5 times a week, people just have it sucked out of them. Yes. Whereas I loved it and never ever saw it as a job. I really enjoyed every single moment of it. It was wonderful.
Brilliant. Like you said, because most academies now, they're starting with kids 8, 9, 10. And, you know, so although you was a late entrant, it's a nice story to see that you made it. Now, you made your professional debut, I believe, for Cardiff in 1984. That'd make you about 21, wouldn't it, Paul?
Yeah, that's correct. I'd been playing, like I said, so 18, I started playing men's football. 19, Yeovil signed me. And then, incredibly, I got an offer to go across to New Zealand. It was really difficult because I was playing in the conference at 19, which was a great level.
Yes.
But the offer from New Zealand, when it came, was very unusual. In the long time ago, but people that remember, in 1982, New Zealand actually made it to the World Cup. Yes. They were in the group of death with Scotland, Russia, Brazil and New Zealand. And 5 of the team that played in that were actually a club that I signed for. So I went out there in 1984. Kevin Fallon was the manager, ex-Barnsley player. assistant manager of the New Zealand team, and it was just an amazing period of time where in those 9 months we won the New Zealand Trophy, Champions League. It was amazing out in New Zealand. It was just a fantastic time. And while I was out there, I was there with another friend of mine who played for Bristol Boys, Kevin Meacock, who came and signed for Cardiff with me. We wrote to all the clubs back in England because obviously it went really well in New Zealand, Jason, and they wanted to, you know, us to play for New Zealand. They wanted us to come back there, sign up for, you know, for the national team, which was obviously a great offer. But the two of us were just soccer mad, and we just wanted nothing more than to come back and make it in England. So it's quite interesting. We wrote 20 letters to every team in the south of England, Premiership, Championship, and Division One, I think it was. Brilliant. Obviously, it wasn't that at the time. And we got three letters back, one from Tottenham, one from Arsenal, and one from Cardiff. And my thinking was, well, if it doesn't work out at Cardiff, we can always go to Tottenham and Arsenal.
Brilliant.
Luckily, Cardiff was close, and it just, we went for a trial, got invited back for a week's training, and got offered a contract the following week. So it was phenomenal.
Wow. And I believe your football career also took you to Sweden, didn't it, Paul?
It did. It did in between. Yeah, after I got let go by Cardiff, I got offered to go to Bristol Rovers for a trial, but I just got a really good offer to go to Sweden. I think it was in something like 1986. And it meant that basically, financially, the money that they were offering, I was thinking of getting married at the time, it just set me up to buy a house and everything. So it was just too good an offer to miss. So I just thought, yeah, I've got to take that.
And then on the return to England, I believe you joined Shrewsbury Town, didn't you, Paul?
No, so it's funny. I think a lot of people put that on Wikipedia. I was never at Shrewsbury. It was Hereford. When I came back initially, I was at Bristol City for about 6 months, a non-contract under Terry Cooper and Clive Middlemass.
Right.
And Bristol City had a great period then. They were winning the Auto Glass. They were doing a little bit like Wolves did just before I joined them, you know, going up through the bottom divisions, really doing well, having success in the, I think, I can't remember if it was the Auto Glass or the Freight Rover Trophy at that time.
Yes.
And doing really, really well, and I was just on the fringe of it. And they were great to me and said, look, Hereford are really interested, you'll get first team football. But all I knew was, you know, it's a strange thing, listening, interestingly enough, to Dean Edwards on his podcast, just about being a hometown person wanting to play for your hometown club.
Yes.
That was all you really want, and it just amazes me that clubs don't realise how much local people really want to play for their club. It means so much more than just being a professional footballer. And they let me go, and I was devastated. But luckily for me, it took off at Hereford, and it was great at Hereford.
I mean, to be honest, Hereford, I've been down to one of their games, and it is a fantastic setup, isn't it?
It was brilliant. The minute I got there, I think it was John Newman who was in charge. Lovely, lovely guy. It was the right time, right place for me. And it went really, really well. I started playing first team football straight away. I was playing on the wing at that time. But eventually, it was unfortunate. John Newman got the sack, and Ian Bowyer was brought in because he was his assistant. He got offered the job. And it was the strangest thing, Jason, in how football works out, because most people seem to think it's already planned. Strange enough, at Hereford, because it was such a small club, some of the first team we'd cover for the reserves.
Right.
And they literally had so few apprentices. So there was we were playing in some reserve team tournament, and Ian Bowyer said to all the players, where do you want to play? When do you want to play? And it was at Ashton Gate. And he said, right, Paul, where do you want to play? What position do you want to play? Play somewhere different. Enjoy it. And I said, oh, I'll play up front. And I played, scored. He picked me for the first team from then on, and I scored in the first game, I think it was at Scarborough away, immediately got on the score sheet, and from there it really went well for me.
Brilliant. Now, obviously then the big move come, obviously Hereford to Wolves in July 1989 for the priceless sum of £45,000. In my eyes, money well spent. I mean, at that time, you're 26, Paul. And I mean, before you come to Wolves, what did you know about the club? Did you realise how big the club was?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I did, just because, like I said, I'd followed football. I was football mad, and I guess the difficulty for me was when a club like Wolves come for you, you know, it's just a one-off chance and you just think it'll never happen again. And it was just amazing. I drove up, I brought my dad, brought my wife. We sat there meeting all the directors. It was just fantastic. We just fell in love with it. You know, and I would have signed for anything because it just meant the world to me. I think in that summer, it was just when my contract had run out, and Hereford made me a great offer. But Oxford United, Notts County, I met Neil Warnock, spoke with Wolves. And yeah, I just, you know, when I came to the stadium, that was it really. It wasn't about the numbers that were being talked about at all. It was just the opportunity to come to such a big club.
Brilliant. I mean, so that was July 1989. Your Wolves record actually isn't too bad, Paul, in terms of it was 29 appearances, 17 were a substitute, 12 were starts. Out of those 12 starts, 4 goals, which, to be honest, from starting point, it's a 1-in-3 ratio. I don't think that was too bad, Paul.
It was very difficult, you know, at the time. There's lots of things that happened during that period that were so difficult in terms of establishing yourself, because when I arrived, you know, the club had done phenomenally well. Graham Turner had taken them from what is now the second division to the first division to the championship. Amazing. Bullion Mutchie scoring 50 goals between them, you know, over those seasons. Fantastic partnership. The way they played, everything about them was excellent. And we played them, I think that was possibly why they signed me, because we played them, we were in the group with them in the auto. I can't remember if it was the Freight Rover or the Autumn Glass Trophy, yes. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
We were against Port Vale and Wolves, played them, and we did really well. We amazingly, we got a 2-2, I think we got a 2-2 draw at our place in the league when we drew with them, and then they beat us in the quarterfinals or something. I think they beat us at our place. But a phenomenal amount of Wolves fans. They did us 2-0. You know, Bully. I think Bully got a couple, and that was when I realised just what a huge club they were. They just dominated the whole ground. It was fantastic atmosphere. Hereford's ground was packed, and it was just the Wolves fans were just incredible.
Wow, and I mean. You said about the goal scoring record of Bully and Mutchie. I mean, it was just ridiculous. When you first come to the club, obviously, you know, there was a lot of substitute appearances where you're on the bench and you're watching them. Did you think, how the hell am I going to get into this team? Because, you know, almost it's a bit bittersweet where you don't want to see a player get injured, but you know you're not going to be replacing Bully and Mutchie on their poor form.
Yeah, it was really a lot of things in my mind at the time about whether to go. I mean, if I'm really honest, Jason, ideally, I possibly needed to stay another season under Ian Bowyer at Hereford, because I did need to improve my goal scoring. And that was always a little bit of a weakness, if I'm really honest. I was much more of a creator, somebody who would set people up.
Yes.
And was always good on the ball. And I've got to be honest, it was a strange thing in that Graham Turner, obviously, amazing record, winning both the championships,
yeah.
2 years on the trot, got them up into the championship itself. Incredible. But I just was sort of wondering to myself why he'd signed me, because everything about my game just didn't suit Wolves.
That's quite honest, Paul. That's very honest of you to say.
It was just really strange. I was sitting there thinking that they play very direct, flick and spin, it's in the channel. It didn't really suit me. I could play the channel, but I would be coming towards the ball, not having it played in at head height to flick and spin. I'd watched Bully and Mutchie and I thought they were phenomenal. Everything about them was sensational. He'd signed John Paskin, who suited that role really, really well.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure if I was sort of an afterthought. And then I realised when we watched, the difficulty was for Wolves at that time, it didn't work quite so well at that higher level. Better clubs, better defenders, better standard. And Wolves were, you know, toying with whether to change, how to change, how to do it. Bully and Mutchie were sensational, and they had a partnership that thrived on the ball down the channels, and they worked teams to death. Really fit, really hungry for success. And, you know, I don't want in any way to speak badly of Graham Turner, because he gave me the opportunity to go there. But like I said, I just didn't think my game suited anything about how they played, the style of it, anything suited me. So it was very difficult for me.
I mean, that's, like I said, Paul, that's very honest of you to say. Now, like I said, we go back to your goal scoring record. There was 4 goals, really. both braces. So you scored two against Swindon Town after coming on a sub in a home game. I mean, you know, what sort of feeling was that, coming on a sub and scoring twice?
Oh, Jason, there's no doubt about it. When I, you know, I think back to the little short moments that I had, they were phenomenal. Yeah, the strangest thing is against Swindon, I was sub, and after 15 minutes, Machi got injured. He'd had a little bit of a problem, and he just wasn't good enough on the day to get through the 90 minutes. So he came off. I came on. I think we were losing 1-0. We were losing 1-0, and yeah, to score two on my debut, obviously, it was just an absolute dream. I can remember I was running, chasing everywhere, just loving it. And obviously, from the Wolves fans, it was a great, great welcome from that point of view. But again, I really don't like it when people criticise managers, because it's unfair, because they don't have the opportunity to say how they saw it. But yes, Graham Turner was very disciplined in the club, was very, very well run. But from my perspective, I'd scored two on my debut. You know, we were losing. I've got two of the game. He didn't speak to me the following week. We went to Plymouth away, and I was on the bench. Not a word said to me. And, you know, I just realised that it was going to be... Now, I'm not saying in any way that I deserve to start anything. Like I said, Bully and Munchie were incredible. But the whole problem was, from my perspective, I just couldn't see where it was going or how it was going to work out for me in any way. And it was very, very difficult. I think I went in to see him to complain about it a little bit. But not just to complain, but just to ask, look, where is this going? What's happening? And he didn't appreciate it straight away. Yeah. It was awkward. It was a very difficult time. And like I said, great manager, did a great job for the club. So I'm not going to criticise him. But it was just quite hard to work out exactly where it was going from my perspective. Yeah. It's a good little story, actually. I think it was possibly one of the following weeks as well. We were at home. We were at Molyneux. I can't remember if we were losing at the time. I'm on the bench. I'd done a little warm-up. And then the whole of the South Bank started singing, "We Want Macca."
Wow.
And I was there, obviously, starting to grin, a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And just turned to me and said, "Sit down. Don't warm up again. You ain't going on. You ain't going on that something pitch, because nobody tells me what to do," which, you know, was fair enough. That was his...
Brilliant.
His prerogative to have that opinion, which was fine. But again, from my point of view, I'm thinking, what have I done wrong?
I say brilliant, Paul. Obviously, you know, you're getting a bit of adulation there. You're clearly enjoying it. But I think Graham Turner was his own man, in as much as, you know, hey, they're not going to tell me what to do. But I think the problem was, for you and players like John Paskin and Colin Taylor at the time, the first two names on the team sheet were Steve Bull and Andy Mutch.
Yeah, of course.
And that was always going to put you on the back foot. But it must have been, going back to that, it must have been an absolutely huge buzz to hear the Wolves fans, you know, singing your name and wanting you to come on.
Oh yeah, I was bursting with pride. It was fantastic. You know, you couldn't, every time before we'd come out, the cheers, just even in the warm-up, I just wasn't used to it. We'd come out, I played at Championship level before, but in truth, it was a very strange thing, see, because I was from Bristol and I'd signed for Cardiff City.
Oh.
We just didn't get booed as we were coming down the tunnel. So it was phenomenal to come to the Wolves where you were really appreciated.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, it was something that, you know, I'm really glad, in terms of the fact that I saw what it was like. And it's so difficult because obviously I live in Bristol, I'm from Bristol, I've come back to Bristol for my children to grow up, and I find that the difference is so difficult to explain, because Bristol City are quite a big club, everybody appreciates them, we've got season tickets, I went for quite a few years, we go and follow them, and all the fans think that they're a massive club, they should be at the big level, but they just don't realise, and it's so difficult. But the biggest thing I can say about Wolverhampton was, when I would go out during the week and go shopping, we'd just go to Tesco's or whatever, and seriously, one in three people was wearing a football shirt.
Wow.
In Bristol, you go out, and you'd be lucky to see one. But in Wolverhampton at that time, people would stop you, ask you how you were. They were fantastic. And don't get me wrong, you know, it was a Wolves shirt, an Aston Villa shirt, a West Brom shirt. There was lots of shirts, but it was that big. And I just think up there, and the further north you go even, it's just such a bigger game. It's a life. It's a lifestyle completely. And whereas down here, you know, it's much quieter.
In fact, Paul, didn't you, when you was at Wolves, didn't you live in Wensfield?
I did, yeah. So we moved up. It was actually, to be fair, I can't, you know, like I said, the club, Graham Turner, things that they put in place, myself, Shane Wesley, Tony Lang, the keeper, we all signed that year. And the three of us were put up on a lovely brand new site. We had some great neighbours, lovely people. And yeah, really enjoyed the whole time. Like I said, the whole thing, apart from the actual not playing in the side, it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah.
Got on really well. My first daughter was born there.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I loved it. We really enjoyed it. We lived in Willenhall first, then we lived in Wensfield, and finally we moved across to Purton. So yeah, enjoyed the whole time.
Yeah, it's all right. The reason I knew Wensfield, I remember my mate when we was at school, and he said he'd gone to the shop, and you was in the shop, and he got you to sign a paper bag or something.
That's what I'm saying, exactly that. The fans, they were just fantastic. Yeah, and it just always picked you up. You realise, you know, that it was a real pleasure to just be at the club, in truth.
Brilliant. Now, that your two goals against Swindon, you obviously we've just spoke about. There was also another brace.
Yep.
Two goals versus Blackburn away at Ewood Park on only your second start for the club. Once again, what sort of experience was that?
So again, the difficulty was at the time, Jason, I guess from my perspective, I was trying to see where I was going. Gary Pendry was assistant manager at the time, and you know, they were a good partnership. Graham Turner would keep away, Gary Pendry would come into the change room, be a bit friendlier, good cop, bad cop sort of role was how they did it. And I got on really well with Gary. He was excellent. He'd give me a little bit of feedback about some of the things. And at the time, I thought, one of the lads was injured. I got a start. I can't remember if Bully missed that game, actually. I can't remember if Bully was injured. I think I'm sure I played up front with Mutchie. It might have been the other way around. But Blackburn obviously were doing really, really well at the time, playing great. And big club to go to. And again, when I'd get the opportunity, I knew, obviously, I've learned from the, you know, what's happened to me before. I scored two, that wasn't enough. So again, when you get in the opportunity, you know immediately that you've got to make an effect on the game.
Yes.
And with the style of the way Wolves played, not totally suiting my style, it was very awkward to get into the games. But, you know, I just ran my heart out, did whatever I could do, and got in the right place at the right time. And luckily, you know, again, got another couple, which was fantastic, really enjoyed it. And we got a 3-2 win. And at that time, the difficulty, I think, was I then had, at that time, maybe a run of possibly four or five games where I started.
Yeah.
And I could see the difficulty with what we were doing, because we'd done so well to win the second division, first division, got to the championship, and the style of play that had been successful, Graham Turner was obviously realising this might not be the way to go, and he was thinking about changing. I could see it was difficult for him. And suddenly we had a little spell. I think we got to fourth. We beat Portsmouth away 3-1. We're doing really, really well. But it was hard. As soon as things went wrong, you revert to type. Of course you do. You revert to what's successful and what works for you.
Yes.
And it was just a difficult period, like I said, because I could see that was always going to be the way it was going to go. And eventually, it just made it really difficult for me. I think I was devastated. The last thing I wanted to do was put in a transfer request at Wolves, but I just felt I had to because of my age and where I was. I wanted to play. I wasn't happy to just sit on the bench. Some people were. For instance, I think at the time the win bonus for Wolves was as much as my wage. So I think I was on £400 a week, but a win was £400. So we could get two wins in a week, and it was £1,200. So it was really good money.
Yeah.
The difference, you know, to playing certainly in the second division where they'd signed me from was phenomenal. So I could see that, but you know, I've got to be honest, I just didn't see it as a total job. I saw it as something like a game that I loved and I just wanted to play.
Yes.
So that was always what drove me to try and play.
I mean, to be honest, that's a question I always ask, maybe rudely, I suppose. I always ask about the money, especially the 80s players. It's difficult to ask a player who's played in the last 3 or 4 years and to be...
Of course it is.
And for them to say, oh, yeah, I was on £8,000 a week plus £2,000 a win plus 1,500 quid a goal. You know,
yeah.
It's a bit personal. But I think back in the 80s, I mean, to be honest, Paul, you was probably earning a bit more than, obviously, the working man. Well, you know, a lot more.
Yeah.
But like you said, with those bonuses, you could have earned some seriously good money, couldn't you, Paul?
It was incredible, yeah. I mean, I could have literally just sat it out, signed another contract, stayed there, and financially it would have been great. To be fair, again, at the time, you're right, that the weekly wage of 400 was a good wage, it was fine, but it was the signing on fees that would, you know, be the deposit for a house, which made such a difference. So that money was fantastic. So yeah, we were really lucky. The signing on fee was something that you didn't think about because it was just put away in the bank, whereas to save each week was hard. But that money, that made the difference and allowed me to buy a property when I finished, and yeah, it was fantastic. So no, really grateful. Didn't see it as a job, but yeah, it paid well for something that was a hobby. It was certainly that case.
Right, no, that's brilliant. So obviously, from your time at Wolves, I know one of the infamous things they used to do was train on the car park behind the North Bank on the Shale.
I couldn't actually believe it. Again, I've got a nice little story. I was shocked. I thought it was a joke. I honestly thought it was a joke. At first, they said, yeah, we're going down on the hardcore grit stuff. And I was like, what? And I suddenly looked. I thought, Steve Ball's here. We've got Andy Mutch. You know, they were on the fringe of the England team. I was gobsmacked. But, you know, they paid £250,000 for some people. I was thinking, this can't be happening. Anyway, we went down to the first week. It was brilliant. I loved it because I thought, well, I might as well get stuck in because I'm not going to be playing. It doesn't matter if I get injured. I'm going to be all right. And I had a great game. And each week it was excellent. They used to vote for the worst player would get the yellow jersey.
Yeah.
Anyway, we did the vote. And I said, oh, I can't believe anyone's... you know, should get that because it's easy on that tarmac, it's no problem. Following week, you can guess what happened. They all ganged up on me and I picked up the yellow jersey straight away.
Oh.
So, but again, I was gobsmacked and shocked at the time that just actually happened. It seemed strange and people did get, obviously, cuts, bruises. It was incredible. But I think it was one of the reasons as well that made Wolves what they were, because one of the things that I really noticed about them was just the hunger and the drive, and you know, they were desperately to be successful, and it didn't matter, they'd do those sort of things. It just, a lot of people wouldn't have liked it, some managers would have been against it, but it was one of the things that you just noticed about them. They were a really level set of lads. Nobody was cocky, nobody was big time. It was excellent.
And you also, I believe, Paul, was on the bench in the infamous 4-1 victory away at Newcastle on New Year's Day 1990 when Steve Ball scored all four.
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. That day, that game, everything about it was just phenomenal. It's hard to sort of... I listened to Dean Edwards again saying about John Richards being a hero, and I understand that, and I get the level that Steve played at could be argued, but wow. You know, he got his England opportunity, took it. He was excellent. I think a lot of people just thought he was just a very direct striker, but Steve was excellent. He was like an assassin. When he got that opportunity, he took it. Really clever, really instinctive, top, top guy. And I've got to be honest, I did learn a lot off him, just watching him, seeing how he went about everything he did.
Yes.
He was excellent. It was just a pleasure to see it. In truth, obviously, you want to play and you want to be part of that. But it was, I think, one of my favourite things about the club that again summed the club up and how honest they were. That after that first season, I think we had the fans' player of the year.
Yeah.
And I came second to Bully, which was the greatest honour I'd ever had.
Wow.
To this day, I'm like, wow, that's up there with anything I ever won. It was fantastic.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Now, there is a story, actually, about the Newcastle game where I believe a few of them actually had a drink the night before because it was New Year's Eve. I don't know if you can shed any light on that, Paul.
It's a long time ago. I'll see what I can think about it. All I can remember is this. We got there. And I think it'd taken quite a while because we went up the night before, obviously, and we were going to. But again, different managers had different ways, and some of the lads, it was noisy because it was New Year's Eve, and some of the people were in a hotel. Some of the people were celebrating. There was a big dance. The bar was open. Music was on. It was very difficult. So a lot of the lads, they just couldn't sleep. And literally, what you're going to do, there's nothing worse than getting frustrated lying in your bedroom and there's people shouting and screaming. It was awkward. So, look, I'm not saying it definitely happened, but obviously the result, luckily the next day went the right way. So maybe what we did then, we should have done a bit more often.
Brilliant. So the jury's still out then whether they had a drink before the game. Now, well, obviously, whilst at Wolves, you did go out on loan in 1991, to Warsaw, and I mean, to be honest, Paul, 4 goals in 9 games, which is fantastic at any level. But the manager there was a Wolves legend, Kenny Hibbett.
Yeah, it was something that just came up, and I got to be honest, I was desperate to go because I just needed to freshen up. It was very difficult. Obviously, you train with the first team, but you'd be playing at a reserve team standard, which wasn't the best. And the opportunity came up to go to Warsaw, and I got to be honest, yeah, I absolutely bit his hand off when it came. I was desperate to go, and once it was Kenny Hibbett as well, it was excellent. Everything at the club at the time, they just moved into the best Scott Stadium, was new. They had a striker called Rob McDonald, who I linked up with really well. We both suited each other, and Kenny Hibbett was just phenomenal to me. Again, when people talk about the jobs that they do, I think when I went there, we had a regime where we'd play on a Saturday, he'd give you Monday off, he'd come in, run really hard on a Tuesday, he'd give you Wednesday off, and we'd come in on Thursday and Friday and work on the following match. And it really worked well. In that time, we did really well. I can't remember where we were in the league position, but it certainly picked up. And I was desperate to sign them. He wanted to sign me as well. But also at that time, just didn't have the money.
Yeah. And to be honest, that would have been a good move for you, Paul, in terms of you wouldn't have had to move house. It was local. It was still a fantastic standard.
Jason, yeah, it was perfect. I would have loved to have gone there. It would have been ideal, in truth. Again, I think it, when you get to that sort of age there, when you're in you're certainly into the mid to late 20s, you're starting to think about where you're going. Like I said, I just had a daughter, my first child, and I was, you know, you're obviously thinking about other things. I think Mansfield came in, made me a really good offer. I didn't like the style of play that they played, but I thought, what can I do? You know, and so then is when you start to think about it being a job.
Yes.
And it was difficult. Obviously, it was devastating to leave Wolves, but it was just something that you have to do. The choice comes, and you know you've got to take it. Really, it's difficult because you're in it to earn money, and it's a very short career, and you've got to do what you can do. I mean, I like I said, enjoyed every minute of it, but yeah, there's times if you look back, you would